Our study tonight is out of Jeremiah chapter 37, verses 1 through 21. Jeremiah's faithfulness amid a false accusation. God had called Jeremiah to prophesy in Judah during its apostasy until God's judgment fell on the nation. Jeremiah's ministry is then similar to what God's servants face in our own era of spiritual decline. Such a calling can be marked by political opposition that seeks to cause God's servants to cease being able to do his work. But Jeremiah 37, 1 to 21 reports on Jeremiah's faithfulness to his divine calling amid a false accusation, a passage that offers a lesson for our insight, our application, and edification. I'd like to read the passage, and then we will look at it. Jeremiah 37. And King Zedekiah, the son of Josiah, reigned in the place of Kaniah, the son of Jehoiakim, whom Nebuchadrezzar, king of Babylon, had made king in the land of Judah. But neither he nor his servants nor the people of the land did hearken unto the words of the Lord, which he spake by the prophet Jeremiah. And Zedekiah the king sent Jehukal, the son of Shelemiah, and Zephaniah, the son of Maaseiah, the priest, to the prophet Jeremiah, saying, Pray now unto the Lord our God for us. Now Jeremiah came in and went out among the people, for they had not yet put him into prison. Then Pharaoh's army was come forth out of Egypt, and when the Babylonians that besieged Jerusalem heard tidings of them, they departed from Jerusalem. Then came the word of the Lord unto the prophet Jeremiah, saying, Thus saith the Lord the God of Israel, Thus shall you say unto the king of Judah, that sent you unto me to inquire of me, Behold, Pharaoh's army which has come forth to help you shall return to the land of Egypt, to their own land. And the Chaldeans, or the Babylonians, shall come again and fight against this city, and take it and burn it with fire. Thus saith the Lord, Deceive not yourselves, saying, The Babylonians shall surely depart from us, for they shall not depart. For though you had smitten the whole army of the Chaldeans that fight against you, and there remained but wounded men among them, they should rise up every man in his tent and burn this city with fire. And it came to pass that when the army of the Babylonians was broken up from Jerusalem for fear of Pharaoh's army, that Jeremiah went forth out of Jerusalem to go unto the land of Benjamin. It says to separate himself thence in the midst of the people. Actually, he was going to examine the property that he'd just purchased. And when he was in the gate of Benjamin, a captain of the guards was there, whose name was Irijah, the son of Shelemiah, the son of Hananiah. And he arrested Jeremiah the prophet, saying, You're falling away to the Babylonians. In other words, you're defecting to them. Then said Jeremiah, It is false. I do not defect away to the Babylonians. But hearken not unto him. So Irijah took Jeremiah and brought him to the princes. Wherefore the princes were angry with Jeremiah and beat him and put him in prison in the house of Jonathan the scribe, for they made that the prison. When Jeremiah was entered into the dungeon and into the cabins, or actually in the cells, Jeremiah had remained there many days. Then Zedekiah the king sent and took him out, and the king asked him secretly in his house and said, Is there any word from the Lord? And Jeremiah said, There is. For, said he, you will be delivered into the hand of the king of Babylon. Moreover, Jeremiah said unto King Zedekiah, What have I offended against you, or against your servants, or against this people, that you've put me in prison? Where are now your prophets who prophesied unto you, saying, The king of Babylon shall not come against you, nor against this land? Therefore, hear now, I pray thee, O my lord the king, let my supplication I request of you be accepted before you, that you cause me not to return to the house of Jonathan the scribe, lest I die there. Then Zedekiah the king commanded that they should commit Jeremiah into the court of the prison, that they should give him daily a piece of bread out of the baker's street, until all the bread in the city was spent. Thus Jeremiah remained in the court of the prison. Though Jeremiah had long predicted that the Babylonian army would besiege and invade Jerusalem, Judah's king, its princes, its prophets, its priests, and people had not believed Jeremiah's words until the Babylonians had actually come and besieged the city. Unfortunately, that's the case sometimes. People don't actually believe the word of God until here it is, it's being fulfilled. However, Pharaoh's army then approached Judah to defend her because Judah had been in league with Pharaoh and sought to help. So the Babylonians had withdrawn from Jerusalem to fight the Egyptians. And Judah's king Zedekiah sent a delegation to Jeremiah to ask him to pray for Jerusalem. Zedekiah possibly hoped that Jeremiah's prayers would induce God to grant a victory to the Egyptians and force Babylon out of Palestine. That's a request that Zedekiah had previously made back in Jeremiah chapter 21, verses 1 to 7. According to history, what happened when Pharaoh actually confronted the Babylonians, he says, "Nah, it's not worth it trying to protect Judah." They turned and went back home. So then the Babylonians turned around and came back to Jerusalem. So exactly what the Lord had predicted occurred. God then sent Jeremiah to Zedekiah to warn him not to deceive himself into thinking that Jerusalem would escape Babylonian invasion. For Pharaoh's army would return to Egypt and Babylon's army would again come and besiege Jerusalem, which is exactly what happened. God added that though only wounded men, and I put down here Nebuchadnezzar's army, but really when I read the passage in Jerusalem, if were left following the conflict with the Egyptians, they would still burn Jerusalem down. So Jeremiah had not yet been in prison. He was free to come and go among the people. So when the Babylonians temporarily withdrew from Jerusalem to fight the Egyptians, Jeremiah tried to leave the city, likely to inspect the field he had purchased from Hanamel back in Jeremiah chapter 32, 1 to 15. God had told Jeremiah to go ahead and buy a field. And Jeremiah was saying, "Wait a minute, you want me to buy a field, and yet you've told me the Babylonians are going to come over and overrun this thing. Why am I buying a field in something that's a losing proposition?" And God says, "We're buying it for the future, the kingdom, when the kingdom of God would come." Now, Jeremiah still has to get his field. So Jeremiah's up in heaven. He's waiting for God to say, "Okay, let's go back. I want to get my field." He's been waiting all this time for his field. He's going to get it. Well, when Jeremiah tried to leave through the gate of Benjamin in northeastern Jerusalem, Urijah, the captain of the guard, arrested Jeremiah, charging him with deserting to the Babylonians. Jeremiah denied the charge, but Urijah refused to believe him and turned him over to the princes, who had Jeremiah beaten and imprisoned for many days in the dungeon of the house of Jonathan, the secretary. This dungeon, what they did, they had water cisterns. And these water cisterns were designed to gain and collect rainwater when it came off of the roof and so forth. They would go into these cisterns and hold it there. The reason they wanted to store water is in case they were under a siege. If they came under a siege, they needed water. It's true that Hezekiah had diverted the water from the Gihon spring into an inner court, but they still wanted as much water as they could. And Jerusalem was able to withstand the siege for about 2 years until they ran out of food. But what happens is if there had been a long period of time without rain, and so what happened is there was thick sludge in the bottom of these dungeons. And when Jeremiah was let down, or these cisterns, when Jeremiah was let down, and his feet would get stuck. If he had enough silt there, the guy could actually die in that situation. So Jeremiah was really concerned about staying in that cistern. He wanted to get out of it. Well, then King Zedekiah retrieved Jeremiah from Jonathan's house and secretly asked him if there was a word from the Lord. And Jeremiah replied that there was, that God had predicted that Zedekiah would be delivered into the hand of the king of Babylon. It's interesting that regardless of the difficult experiences that he had just recently faced, being arrested and beaten and put in this place, Jeremiah still boldly proclaimed God's word that gave a harsh message to the king. Now, normally a lot of people would say, maybe I better change my message. I don't want to go back to the prison there. But he didn't do that. He told the king, "Yeah, here's the message from the Lord. You're going to be captured by the Babylonians." This is a man who was trusting the Lord. But then, Jeremiah then asked what wrong he had done to the king, to his servants, or to the people that he had imprisoned them. He'd been in prison. Jeremiah reminded Zedekiah that the king's prophets had told him that Babylon would not come against him or Judah. What had proved to be false, where Jeremiah's word to the king had proved to be true, implying that Zedekiah should treat Jeremiah well since he was God's true prophet. And this is a good argument for him to use. I mean, the other prophets, they all messed up. They said, Babylon has come. And he says, "I told you it was coming. I'm the only prophet that's proved to be true, so you ought to listen up, king." Very interesting. Jeremiah then asked the king not to send him back to the dungeon at Jonathan's house, lest he die there. Zedekiah responded to Jeremiah's request by committing him to the court of the guard and assigning him a daily ration of bread from the baker street. They had a street there where the bakers would all do their cooking, until all the bread in the city was gone. So God honored his promise to protect Jeremiah when he obeyed him. And that promise, you'll recall, is back in Jeremiah chapter 1, verses 17 to 19. And Jeremiah remained in the court of the guard, which was a place that was frequented by the captain who had falsely charged him. The captain who had charged him was the captain of the guard. And the captain of the guard, apparently the barracks was in this court. And so that's where the captain of the guard had to sleep. He comes home and all of a sudden, here's Jeremiah. Well, what's he doing here? Well, the king put him here and has given him a daily ration of bread. So you got to put up with it. So the Lord is honoring Jeremiah right in front of this guy who had put him in prison and had him, you know, send him over to that he could be beaten and so forth. So though falsely accused by a captain of the guard of deserting to the enemy, and though beaten and imprisoned in a dungeon by the princes who believed the captain's charge, Jeremiah stayed true to this calling to proclaim God's message to Judah's king, even if that message was a harsh one for the king. The Lord thus fulfilled his promise to protect Jeremiah by having even this king direct Jeremiah to be stationed protectively in the court of the guards and fed daily from the baker's street until all the bread of the city was gone. So remarkably, though initially falsely accused by the captain of the guard, Jeremiah ended up assigned to the court of the guard that the captain of the guard frequented, and there to be fed a daily ration of bread until the bread in the city was all gone. In other words, Jeremiah was going to be fed bread as long as the captain of the guard had bread. You talk about the Lord, he really turned the tables on that captain of the guard. So God met Jeremiah's needs, and he honored him in front of the officer who had initially wronged him. That must have been quite an experience. So may we stay faithful to God's calling, even if we face false accusations, for God will take care of us. We have a wonderful song in our hymn book, God Will Take Care of You. That song, incidentally, was written when a pastor, his wife was very, very ill, and he decided, I have to serve the Lord, so he went off to church while his wife was very well ill. And she started to get better as he was away, and she wrote the words to that song, God Will Take Care of You. And so when he came back, you know, she was much better, so they put it to music. And that's a song that we have. Many of the songs, incidentally, that we have in our hymn book came out of suffering or challenges or trials that Christians have faced. So it's something to keep in mind. But God takes care of his people. I think it's amazing. Here's a king, and Jeremiah told him, this is the message that God has for you. And he gave him a very unflattering message, but God used that king of all kings, all people, to rule that Jeremiah was supposed to go into the court of the guard and have his daily food ration given to him as long as the city had food. So it's amazing what God can do. If we obey him, he can move in the hearts of kings and people to be supportive of us. So we need to do that.